Welcome back to Gaelic Games Fan TV. It is the football review show. Match day six is in the bag, and we're going to be reviewing all the weekend's action from a very entertaining weekend of Allianz National Football League action. You had Monaghan, who have officially been relegated. Their long stay in Division 1 is officially over after their defeat to Tyrone. We'll be breaking that game down, discussing what it could mean for Monaghan in the long term, and a bit about Tyrone as well, because look, it was a very, very good win for Tyrone, in fairness. Also discussing many other games up and down the country. Roscommon look all but relegated after a defeat to Kerry. Dublin keep on winning after their win versus Galway. Derry with a big win versus Mayo. And looking down in Division 2, big wins for the likes of Armagh and Cork, of course, down there as well. Louth with a huge win versus Fermanagh. And Donegal relegating Kildare as they lose 6 on the bounce. We'll be looking at some big games in Division 3 and Division 4 as well. Certainly plenty of talking points to get through. Keen says here, super win for Leitrim, beating Laois by a point, 17-113. Nobody gave the men from the West a chance at beating Laois. Let's now beat Tipperary on Sunday and hope that Wexford can do us a favour. And yeah, look, that was one of the rare predictions I got right, in fairness. So you have to take your wins when they come. Penny Reid says Tyrone will win the All-Ireland. Robert says a good win for Longford. And Killian says here, well, lads, happy hangover day. Absolutely, absolutely. I'm actually not feeling too bad today, in fairness. But there we go. But yeah, Matthew, how about yourself? Any hangovers around? How's life? How was your St. Patrick's weekend?
Yeah, all good. Thanks for having me on again, Aaron. Yeah, I went to Navan on Saturday. So good crowd there. Good, decent crowd. Good win for Cork. And the players getting applauded off. That was a good thing. Sunday, just rested, really. Trying to get a few things done, like top scores and stuff for the Allianz League, and then you have college projects, so you'll find your project due next week, so have to get going on that rather than being on here and stuff like that. But yeah, that'll be for another hour. For this hour, it's talking about football, obviously. But yeah, enjoyed the weekend, enjoyed the games, even Roscommon Kerry yesterday, Derry Mayo, enjoyed watching those games. So yeah, looking forward to getting into it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, and anyone who's tuning in, hit the like button and subscribe if you haven't already. Helps the channel grow. And yeah, let us know what games you watched, your thoughts on the weekends and everything else. Yeah, I suppose only one place to start, and that was Tyrone 119, Monaghan 213. Tyrone get the victory in the end by 3 points against Monaghan. It condemns Monaghan to relegation, and they will be playing Division 2 football for the first time since 2014. I suppose thoughts on this one. I mean, like, Tyrone obviously started the much better side. Jack McCarron gets a goal to keep Monaghan in it. You felt like every time Tyrone pulled away, Monaghan, to be fair to them, you know, showed a lot of resilience and a lot of character that we very much associate with Monaghan to get themselves back into the game time and time again. But Tyrone just did have far too much quality, and especially going down the home stretch, Darren McCurry, Dara Canavan, Joe Goose, who I think looked very bright as well. Tyrone just had way too much in the tank for Monaghan.
Yeah, that was probably the story of the game. And yeah, Dara Canavan's goal probably epitomised that. Niall Morgan, it was straight from, I think the ball dropped short. Niall Morgan then retrieves the ball, kicks it straight to Canavan. It's probably the assist of the year, to be honest, with that goal. But in fairness to Monaghan, if things didn't go their way in the league, they were struggling with players being missing and players going abroad, and players retiring and things like that. But they still stuck into it, even though they were second best for most of the game, the entirety of it. They stuck in there, and they could have easily kicked a few goals maybe at the end. Like Conor McManus, they didn't get a goal chance. It was a goal chance near the end as well. I know Killian Lavelle got a goal, and that kind of put things back into the melting pot. But Tyrone definitely steadied the ship, as you mentioned, with McCurry points. And yeah, in fairness to Tyrone, they got over the line. And for Monaghan, yeah, it's a disappointment that it went down, but it's an achievement that went many ways, if you think about it, because like to stay in Division 1 for 10 seasons is absolutely outstanding for a small company like Monaghan. And fair play to them. It'll be interesting to see how they'll bounce back next year in Division 2. Like, there's a lot of decent teams in Division 2. You have Meath, you have for next season, you have Down potentially, Westmeath, Louder, a sticky team, like Cork, if they get a bit of run going together, and obviously Roscommon, who could easily go down, or Galway. So it's going to be tough for Monaghan next year. It'll be interesting. Can they bounce straight back up like Armagh to the Galway did this season, or will they go languishing down the divisions like many other teams have done in years gone by? It'll be interesting to see, but It's a disappointment for Monaghan, but at the same time, you have to applaud them for staying in the league for so long. But for Tyrone, decent results. They've stayed up in Division 1 now, but the key thing for Tyrone, I know it was a brilliant performance the last day at times in Healy Park, but we talked about this countless times on the podcast. Tyrone produced a brilliant performance 1 week, and then the next week, they're really, really bad. Like, the performance against Kerry, particularly in Killarney, was really under par. The performances against Derry in the league, thinking back to us, was really, really poor. Against Mayo in the second half was good, but the first half was the polar opposite. So Tyrone need consistency, there's no doubt about that. And they're playing Dublin next week. Maybe they'll rest a few players going to the Ulster Championship. And I think the main test now next is the Ulster Championship quarterfinal against Monaghan. It could be again, or Cavan. Like, we can't discount Cavan either. So, like, it will be a difficult year for Tyrone, more or less. But if they produce performances like that on a consistent basis, they'll go far into the Championship. But the main word here, Aaron, is if.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, and there was a commenter on, I think, the preview show during the week. It was a Tyrone fan saying, you know, Tyrone are 22-1 to win the All Ireland, which I suppose maybe seems like quite quite long odds, maybe, for a side who won an All Ireland a couple of years ago and everything else, and maybe some of the criticism Tyrone gets is a little bit unfair and everything else. But I think at the same time, like, when the criticism comes from my end, it's not that Tyrone don't have a good team. You know, you can clearly see from watching them with Dara Canavan, with Darren McCurry, and with the talented players that they have, like Kieran McGeary, obviously scoring 2 points, coming back into the side was huge as well. Kieran Daly's been a great addition into the side this year. As we said, Joe Goose looks like a very good player. So it was never that Tyrone didn't have the players. It was just, for whatever reason, over the last 3-4 years, they have had a lot of inconsistencies. And actually, when you look at it, like, Tyrone haven't put a run of 3 or 4 wins together, like, against top teams, and in general, really, over the last couple of years, like, since they've won that All-Ireland. So I do think the criticism of them is quite fair. You know, if Tyrone play to the best of their ability week in, week out, they're a match for anyone in the country. But the problem is, we just don't see it enough. But in saying that, though, like, is this the best version of Tyrone we've seen since they've won that All-Ireland, in terms of how Dara Canavan's playing, probably footballer of the year, arguably, so far? Darren McCurry coming back in, some of the younger lads coming into the side as well. Like, is this the best Tyrone have looked since they won that All-Ireland in 2021?
It could be, but you could argue that Tyrone looked really, really good at the end of the league last year too. Like, against Armagh, that performance was very good on match day 7. They seemed to be coming into their own. And even against Monaghan in the Ulster Championship, if you remember, they were very, very good in that game. And up until the Ryan O'Toole goal, they were going to win that. There's no doubt about it. But then once it went into the nitty-gritty stages of the All-Ireland Championship, against Armagh, granted, they were decent. Against Galway, they were okay and got a sending off through Frank Burns. Then it capitulated when they drew against Westmeath. I don't know how that happened. And no disrespect to Westmeath. They're a Division 3 team. They've done well in the last few seasons, winning the Tartan Cup, etc. But Tyrone shouldn't be drawing to them. And to be honest, John Haslin could have easily won it in the last minute as well. So that was a signal that the writing was on the wall. When that happened, then they beat Donegal, but then they get trounced by Kerry and Croagh Park. It probably one of the worst Tyrone performances I've ever seen in an All Ireland quarter final. So, look, there is an argument that they have performed well in the league, and particularly against sides like Monaghan in the second half against Mayo. But let's remember, we were talking about Tyrone as being kind of a dark horse at the end of last year's league, and even after the loss to Monaghan and Ulster. But look what happened afterwards. So that's the danger with Tyrone. I think people, journalists or social media influencers might think about backing Tyrone after what happened last season. So that's just my point. I do think there's excellent players there, as you mentioned, Kieran Daly, Dara Canavan is the top scorer from play in Division 1, I think it is. I think he surpassed Conor Hannan this weekend. I have to double check that now. But they do have excellent players, and even in defence, like Noel Devlin's a very good player. Conor Kilpatrick in midfield, Brian Kennedy or Van Mountains. Noel Morgan's having one of the best seasons of his career in a few seasons. But the problem is, and we've gone back to it over and over again, it's consistency. They do well against sides like Armagh, Monaghan, and then they struggle against Westmeath. They struggle to beat them. They struggle against Kerry and Croagh Park, and they hammer Donegal. Like, it's just, I don't know how to describe it. It's very, very up and down for Tyrone. And even looking at your league form this year, I know you're saying that they have performed well in certain aspects of the game, but let's think about it in the league this season, for example. In match day 1, they beat Roscommon. Match day two, they produced a terrible performance against Derry and Louth. In match day three, they beat Mayo in two polar opposites. I think actually match day three was against Galway, wasn't it? Match day three was against Galway. They lost that. Match day four against Mayo, polar opposites of halves. First half, they were terrible. Second half, they were very, very good. Fifth match day against Kerry, they lose that in Killarney and probably comprehensively as well. And then against Ballinhead, they were very, very good. But they have to reduce maybe two or three good performances in a row. That's what they need to do to get to All-Ireland level. It's not a criticism of Tyrone in general. It's just a criticism, not criticism of the players, the management. It's just a criticism of their consistency when it matters most in the championship.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And for any Tyrone fans who are watching, let us know in the comments live or after the replay what you thought of Tyrone's performance. And let us know your thoughts on going into the championship and everything else. Connor says Monaghan should have went down last year. A year or two in Division 2 will do them no harm. Gavin says someone on Twitter pointed out Monaghan down a division for first time since 2015. Cavan don't change a division for first time since 2015. Some derby next spring. Yeah, it is quite a mad statistic and everything else for two neighbouring counties and two rivals and everything else. In terms of Monaghan, though, like they obviously do go down for the first time, as we said, since 2015. And obviously their long stay, their, 9-year stay in Division 1 comes to an end. What do you think has been the overall reason for Monaghan getting relegated? Because last year, as we said, All-Ireland semi-finalists had some very good results in the championship, beating the likes of Tyrone. And this year they beat Dublin on the opening day, and I think a lot of people maybe thought that Monaghan could, you know, push on and maybe go for, you know, try and get into a league final or something like that. And it's gone the complete opposite way. Like, they've been beaten comprehensively week in, week out. Obviously this game against Tyrone was a little bit different, but overall, like, where has it gone wrong for Monaghan, do you think?
Before going to what's gone wrong, like, isn't it remarkable that me, you and Seamus predicted that Monaghan would stay up in Division 1, and the 1 year that happens, they go down? It's just bait, isn't it? It really is. But in regards to what has gone wrong, I think one of a few things. Number one is, and it's not the temperament or the I would say effort, because Monaghan have that in spades, and they produce it every time for their county when they go out in the field. That should be questioned. I think, first of all, it's the players that they have been missing. Rory Beggett's a huge loss going over to the States. And I know Dara McDonald has done well in goal and embarrassed them in spades in the league, but he's a huge loss, not just on the pitch, but just a leader, all-round leader. And you look at the retirements well over the last few seasons. Conor McManus didn't play in the first part of the league. Conor McCarthy's been in and out. Darren Hughes hasn't appeared, as far as I know, in the league either. Kieran Hughes is retired. So to lose that amount of experience and talent is going to hurt any team. So, like, that was a huge reason for Monaghan to go down. And another thing, they've been probably playing with fire for a few years now, to be honest with you, Division 1. Even as early as, I remember, 2016, they were the same number of points as Mayo and Cork on 6 points. Cork were the ones to go down because of points difference. But if you remember, Cork actually beat Mayo and Monaghan. So arguably Monaghan could have easily gone down the second season. But they stayed in the league. They stayed plugging in there. And even in 2022 against Dublin, they could have gone down that year. They should have gone down. Dean Rock scores that goal and you're thinking, okay, Monaghan are going to go down here. Conor Jack McCarron saves them and Monaghan stay up. Last season, they could have gone down. Like, if Mayo had something to play for on the last day, they could have gone down that year too. So it's kind of a situation, like, compared to, like, remember Sunderland in the Premier League? They used to be very involved in the relegation dogfight in year out. And then in 2017, they eventually went down. But then the worry, and this is a worry for Monaghan fans, in 2018, Sunderland actually went down to League One. So could we see a kind of symmetry there that Monaghan go down to Division 3? I actually don't think it'll end up that way. I think Monaghan have a very good spine there. They have good young players coming through. But it is a possibility, and Monaghan maybe have to be careful about this. Maybe, and as the commentator said there, maybe a few years in Division 2 might help them just to develop even further, like playing against lower opposition, no offence to those sides in Division 2, but it's lower opposition than the likes of Dublin, Kerry, Tyrone, Mayo. So maybe it will help Monaghan in future seasons. But in the Ulster Championship now, it'll be interesting to see how they rebound against Cavan on the first day out. We'll see how the temperament then. And Cavan don't have a league final either, and have had an excellent league campaign in Division 2. So that'll be a tough game, no doubts about it. So it'd be interesting to see how Monaghan bounce back in that game in particular.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, I mean, is it the end of an era, do you think, for Monaghan? I mean, over the last 10 years or so, I think they've defied the odds on so many occasions for such a small county with such a small population, very limited resources in comparison to many other counties. And it's obviously been discussed hugely, you know, across the GAA world over the past couple of years. I made a video even on it myself, looking at some of Monaghan's achievements, obviously winning Ulster titles in 2013 and 2015, you know, getting to All-Ireland semi-finals in 2018 and obviously last year as well. I mean, there's been maybe a talk about Monaghan over the last couple of years that at some point there is going to be the end of an era a little bit with Monaghan, because prior to obviously the days of winning that Ulster title in 2013 and everything else and sort of the build up to that, Monaghan for large parts, you know, of probably both our lifetimes and even before that, you know, Monaghan were a Division 3, Division 4 team. And I'm not saying they're ever going to go back down as far as that, because I do think Monaghan do have very good structures underage. They've been able to continuously produce players. And even some of the younger players that have come into the team this year have had a few good moments. So I don't necessarily think that that will happen. But at the same time, is it the end of an era for Monaghan football? And is the days of Monaghan being what we knew them in terms of defying the odds, staying up in Division 1, competing for Ulster titles, are those days over? Maybe not permanently, but at least for another while. What do you think?
There's a possibility it is. I think the effort is there for Monaghan. I do think the players are there. Like, there is young players coming through the ranks. Like, Conor McCarthy's still young enough. Jack McCarron still has a few years left in him. Like, you still have Keenan Lavelle, who did very well the other night against Tyrone. Like, there is still players there for Monaghan that they can call upon. But I think the worry for them is, what will happen when Conor McManus retires? What will happen when Darren Hughes eventually retires? What will happen when the older guard starts going slowly but surely? Like, it's going to be an interesting debate. And it looks like Rory Began, but it looks at agent talks and NFL that he is staying over there. And best of luck to Rory on that on a side note. But that's a huge loss for Monaghan to have in goal as well. So there is an argument that it could stop, but I don't think it will. I think, honestly, this could be the best thing that happened to Monaghan to go down. Because, like, if you're getting pummelings at Division 1, that's not going to help you in many ways. If you go down to Division 2, gain a bit of confidence, maybe you could get results then. And look at the Ulster Championship. Like, there's still a chance that Monaghan reach a semi-final. They have to play Cavan, first of all, then Tyrone. And look at the Tyrone game the other night. If they get Conor McManus and Darren Hughes and all them back into the team, there's every chance that Monaghan could catch them on the hop in the Ulster quarterfinal. I'm not saying they'll win the semi-final. No, they'll face Derry or Donegal the way the draw is going. But, like, there's always a possibility with this Monaghan side. I do think there's fire left in them. The question is, how will they recover once, well, we'll see now. Conor McManus will probably retire in the next 1 to 2 years. There's no doubts about that. He's, what, 36, 37 at this stage. He's going to call it quits one day. And it'll be interesting to see how Monaghan bounce back from that kind of setback. But other than that, I do think there's quality in there. I think there's temperament in there. I think Vinnie Corey is a decent coach and knows Monaghan football inside and out. So I think they'll be honestly fine. But there is an argument there that Monaghan could go back into their shell. It'll just be interesting to see, first of all, how they get on the Ulster Championship, and second of all, how they'll get on Division 2 next season.
Absolutely. Yeah, you'd fancy them to come straight back up?
It's a tight one.
Because you have the likes of Down coming up here looking very strong. Well, that's not a guarantee. Obviously, they have to play Clare next week. But even the sides who do come up from Division 2, whether it be Down, Westmeath or Clare, I think the sides coming up from Division 3 are going to be quite strong. I think Cavan are improving. I think Cork are improving. Meath are improving. You know, like, so I think, like, with our man Donegal, I know this time last year we were talking about Donegal and saying they won't come straight back up. But then obviously Jim McGuinness was announced, and I think a lot of us said, right, Donegal and Armagh, the two front runners most certainly to come straight back up. And even the year previous with Derry and Dublin, I think a lot of people looked at them as the two significant favourites. And obviously Roscommon aren't going down just yet. You know, they do still have a slight chance of staying up. But, like, I do think it will be tough for Monaghan. I do think they have enough to get back up, but I do think it will be tough for them.
I think it will as well, but I get your point definitely on the last two seasons. Like Derry and Dublin were streets ahead of the rest. There's no doubt about it. Armagh, Donegal were streets ahead of the rest this year. My worry for Monaghan, I would think, is for Meath and Cork in particular, those two are sleeping. And Down, if they come up, that is, against Clare next week. I think three of those counties in particular are sleeping giants. And you see, if they get kind of a run together, like you look at Cork in the last few games, if they get a run together, they start playing more freely and they start playing attacking football, and it's brilliant to watch. Meath the same. Like if they get players back, if they get Jordan Morris back into the team, I think they could be a force to be reckoned with. Cavan have proved that they could do fine without Conor Moyne and Garrow McKiernan, and without with Raymond Gallagher still in as coach and not as a player. I think they'll be fine as well. And let's not forget Louth as well, Aaron. Like if Monaghan have to go to RD, that's not going to be an easy place to go to. And it's same applies to either Roscommon or Galway. They won't find it easy going to RD whatsoever in that game against Louth. And Louth, as we've seen in the league campaign so far, they don't lose by big margins. So Monaghan and Roscommon or Galway, if they come down, would hammer Louth. There's no doubt about it. And even the sides coming up, Westmeath have a sturdy defence as shown this season, and Down have a brilliant attack and a brilliant coach as well in Conor Laverty. And Martin Clark, obviously, in and around the backroom team of Ciarán Mina as well. So Down are going to be serious next season as well. I think it's going to be very competitive to see who actually stays in Division 2 next year. In terms of who goes up as well, it's going to be absolutely a bear pit. And it always is Division 2. It really is. So, yeah, I think it'll be very tight next season. But then it does depend on how Cork and Meath season, in particular, Down season, will end in the Championship. If it ends on a high, then they might go into Division 2 gaining a bit of confidence. If it ends on a low, then they might go into it feeling negative about themselves. So, we'll have to predict it probably next season because we don't know what will happen from here on out. But I think Monaghan, it won't be a walk in the park. I'll put it that way. It won't be easy to get out of Division 2, but I think they're definitely capable with the players that they have, with the mentality that they have, the coaches and everything. I do think there's a possibility that Monaghan do go straight back up.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, let us know in the comments live or even down below what you think about Monaghan. Are they going to come straight back up or what's your thinking on them? Connor says Clare might have something to say about Down going up. Absolutely, yeah, and it promises to be an absolute bumper weekend of football next weekend, as it usually is actually on the last day of the National Football League. Moving on, it was Mayo 2-13, Derry 3-15. Derry do all but enough to secure a league final. It's actually not guaranteed just yet, with Kerry on 8 points and Dublin on 10 points. There is a possibility of it going down to score difference if Derry were not to get over the line against Roscommon next week. So it isn't actually a guarantee for Derry just yet to be in a league final, but you would probably feel that they are more or less there. 10 different scores in total for Derry. Again, I think they're probably proving the perception wrong that they're, you know, just reliant on Shane McGuigan. I think we're seeing multiple different players stand up. And like Mayo did show some fight in this game. They battled back on a couple of occasions when it looked like this game was going to be too much for them. Jordan Flynn obviously getting a big goal in the first half. But yeah, Derry proving to be too strong for the men from Mayo. And yeah, I suppose the Derry hype train rolls on for another week.
Yeah, and why not? They've been absolutely outstanding in the league. Other than that Dublin game in Celtic Park, they have been absolutely exemplary. And there's no doubts about it. 10 different scores, as you mentioned. 75% shot accuracy from play, 69% overall. Like, this team is a monstrous team. There's no doubts about it. And their aim is to get an All-Ireland title on the board. There's no doubts about it. Like, Mickey Hart even seems, you know, happy to be in the job at the moment. Like, everything's rosy in the garden at the moment. They look really happy with the way they're playing football, the stats show it on the pitch, and then the way Shane McGuigan's hitting his scores. It looks that way that Derry looks to be enjoying their football. And not just Shane McGuigan as well. Like, even, I think it was Lachlan got a goal. Conor McCluskey's been an absolute fire from quarterback. He had a brilliant goal as well yesterday. Niall Toner looks very good as well. Like, even Conor Glass didn't get involved really much in the game. It was more so Brendan Rodgers, but he still pops up with a crucial score near the end too. So I do think there's a lot of positives in Derry at the moment, and they look really, really good and hard to stop. in this run of form. And Shane McGuigan won three from play as well. And he's just a brilliant forward. It has to be up there with one of the best forwards in the country. But for Mayo, I don't think it was a negative for them. I know they lost the game, but I thought they were very good at fighting back into it. Jordan Mark Flynn, as you mentioned, and Paul Towey getting that goal. And if Ryan O'Donoghue's shot just dips in under the crossbar, just a few inches under, we could have been talking about a different story today. So, like, Mayo deserve a lot of credit too. I think their main aim is to get to the Connacht Championship. Now, obviously, they have a league game next week against Monaghan, which doesn't really mean much. Mayo realistically won't get to the league final. I think they might chop and change a small bit. And maybe move into the next game now in 2 weeks' time against New York. It's going to be a long trip over there. You would expect them to beat New York at the Connacht Championship, though. So I think Mayo just did a lot of positives. There's young players coming through. Ryan O'Donoghue seems to be getting a bit of form going. I think the few misses from Mayo yesterday will be quite concerning for Kevin McStay. Like, 51% isn't really that good. Six wides, three drop short, kickouts weren't really working. But to be honest, they were up against one of the best midfields in the country, or the best, in Conor Glass and Brendan Rodgers. So maybe these are all doom and gloom in that department just yet. But I think Mayo are still in a good place. But the main story here is Derry, and they look unbelievable at the moment. And they look en route to an Ulster title at the moment. And, like, the question is, can they challenge Dublin and Kerry? But it looks at Kerry now. They look good, no doubt about it. But Jason Foley's injury might throw a spanner in the works. We'll get onto that later. But the Derry look to be the real deal at the moment. They look really, really good. And yeah, they'll be going on to the league final. Well, it all looks rosy at the moment. But Kerry and Dublin, we'll have to see how they perform next week. I think if Kerry, the permutation though, if Derry lose next week and Kerry and Dublin win, then I think that would mean Kerry and Dublin would be the league final. I'll have to double check this now, but a point would be enough against the Roscommon team. They're fighting off relegation themselves, so you would have to fancy Derry to get the league final. And maybe a national trophy is what this team needs to get a bit of confidence going, to signal that yes, they can beat the likes of Dublin and Kerry.
Absolutely. Yeah, like, and yeah, I suppose for Derry, obviously, you know, bouncing back, getting Conor Glass back in the side, Garrett McInnes back in the team as well. Owen McAvoy back on the side. So, yeah, certainly a lot of positives from a Derry perspective. For Mayo, maybe the worry there, like, a lot of goals conceded. They'd actually done quite well up until this point in terms of conceding goals. So, maybe defensively, a couple of worries going into, you know, the championship in a couple of weeks.
Potentially, but they have two games now to rectify that. Now, they have Monaghan in a game that doesn't mean much. Monaghan are already down, of course. And then they have New York, who, to be honest, New York, no offence to them, but they aren't up to the level of Galway or Roscommon and Connacht. There's no doubt about it. So Mayo maybe have an opportunity to trial a few fellas in defence, see how they get on. But it is a quick turnaround when you think about it, because after New York, it's most likely Roscommon in the Connacht semi-final. So they still have a lot to work on, Mayo, going into that. So it will be interesting to see. But yeah, I think they're still in a good place. Like, they do have good forwards. And that's probably been the main problem with Mayo over the last few years, that they haven't had standout forwards. But you should see Paul Towey, you know, yesterday, once he went on the pitch, he was hungry for goals. Got the goal yesterday. Ryan O'Donoghue, Aidan O'Shea, performed well in spades, and he was up for it in some facets of the game too. Jordan Flynn performed good in some aspects, and Matty Moran was very good in midfield at times in the game, especially in the last few minutes in the second half. Catching balls from kickouts was really, really good. So I do think there is positives on an attacking standpoint for Mayo, more defensively, but defensively they need to fix up on a few problems. If they don't do that, then they could be for a tough kind of championship. But we'll have to see in the next few weeks. But the positive for Kevin McStay is he has two games and a few more training sessions before the impending Roscommon game to rectify these problems.
Absolutely. Yeah, Gavin says here, is it possible with this Derry run that they could run out of steam like Mayo last year? What do you reckon?
But Derry don't look like that type of team. And you see them last year, they got to the semi-finals with relative ease. Like, they got past the group stage with ease to beat Cork in the quarter-final, and they challenged Kerry all the way. And that was, to be honest, I think Derry kind of went into that semi-final a bit naive, thinking that they'd stop David Clifford or everything would be fine. But Dublin showed in the league, if you stop Paddy, then you could go into further things after that. So, you know, I think... Excuse me. Yeah, I think Derry are a very good team. They have good players around the middle, and Emmett Bradley still hasn't got a run of games in midfield. Look good against Dublin in spades. So I do think the fellas on the bench are making a huge claim as well. Like Corbett Murphy come on over the last few weeks, Lachlan Murray as well. And they do have players that will go for a full season. There's no doubts about it. Like, there is an argument they are considering the cutthroat nature of the Ulster Championship. They played Donegal first off after the league final, that is. And like Donegal are not going to roll down easily. And neither are Tyrone Cavanagh or Modern in the semi-final either, and neither are Armagh in the Ulster finals. So I do think there's still a long slog of a season ahead for Derry, and not because Derry aren't contenders or anything. I just think the sides that they're playing are really, really good at the moment. So it's going to be tough in that facet for Derry, but I do think it won't be like Mayo last year. I think they'll get to a semi-final, potentially a final. They look good at the moment, and with Mickey Hart in charge, I don't think Mickey Hart will be the type of manager to let standards slip. I really don't. So I think Derry are in a good place at the moment. And yeah, they look good.
Yeah, I think like momentum, you know, suits some teams. You know, like when you're winning games, building up momentum, consistently winning. I think it can go one or two ways. Like we've seen Kerry go very strong in the league the year they won the All-Ireland in 2022. You know, they won the league that year, albeit look, the championship structure that year is a little bit different, playing in the Munster Championship in comparison to more competitive championships like Connacht and Ulster. So there probably is some slight differences there. But I do think at the same time, I think Mayo's case last year was maybe more than just going very strong in the league. You know, I think there was probably a little bit more to a certain extent with injuries and everything else. And I think Derry, to be fair, have been clever in, you know, resting players against Dublin here and there. And it wouldn't surprise me if it was a Derry and Dublin league final that you see Mickey Hart do something similar to the game in Celtic Park, where he takes a couple of the lads out of firing line in preparation for the Ulster Championship in a couple of weeks' time. Moving on, speaking of Dublin, they beat Galway 22 points to 14. A very comfortable result from a Dublin perspective. A game that never really looked in doubt as a Dublin fan watching on. Conor O'Callaghan with 9 points. Sean Bugler, very impressive with 3 points. Kieran Kilkenny gets on the score sheet as well. You had the return of the likes of Colm Baskale, Jack McCaffrey and Paul Mannion all coming into the team. Likes of Darren Newcombe came back into the side as well. Tom Lahiff, of course. So, look, overall, very, very good results from a Dublin perspective. Very comfortable win. Galway had a few moments here and there. Killian O'Corrin had a very good game, I felt, from a Galway perspective. But overall, very comfortable, I think, for Dublin.
Yeah, comfortable enough. And it looked to be in the most throughout the game, really. Like, Dublin were powering on in the first half. I think Galway didn't score from play for I don't know how long in that first half. I didn't watch the game, no, it was at Cork and Meath, but it looks a bit on the highlights. Dublin looked absolutely on fire in this game. Sean Bugler looked really, really good. Conor O'Callaghan in spades as well. Like, and that's even without James McCarthy, Stephen Cluxton, Mick Fitzsimons. Like the amount of talent that Dublin are without, and they still score 22 points in Salt Hill, which is normally a venue where the rain comes. I don't know, is that just a myth or anything like that? But it's normally every time I see that on the TV, it rains. So that's Salt Hill for you. But for Dublin to score 22 points in that kind of weather conditions, I think it's really, really good from Desi Ward's point of view. And Paul Joyce, speaking in the post-match interview afterwards, said he was saying there was no excuse with the players that they were missing. But I think it is quite concerning, even listening to correspondent and Peter Canavan on League Sunday last night talk about it. Like, they're missing not just Shane Walsh and Damien Comer. They're also missing Killy McDade, who was an influential figure in 2022, and Matthew Tierney, who was brilliant last season in spades in the championship. So, yeah, I kind of have to take that into account as well. Will they play next week against Kerry? We'll have to see. And I'd imagine Jack O'Connor would want a league final as well to get a trophy under his belt. So I think Kerry are going to go gung-ho as much as they can next week. So that's going to be a worry for Galway going into it. And there's every possibility that Ross Cobbin could turn up and beat Derry. So, like, it is not, they're not holding the wood yet in relegation circles, but, like, it's disappointing in many aspects for Galway that Walsh, Coburn, all them are actually playing in the team. Like, what does that signal? That they aren't ready yet, or they're just going for championship? But you need a bit of, we were talking about this earlier on, you need a bit of momentum to keep you going. And I don't think Galway are getting that momentum with all the players missing and things like that. It looked that way against Monaghan in the last game. Rory Cullingham looked very good, but looked quite enough in this game if he actually played. So, like, it doesn't actually look entirely good for Galway. It may look better when the players do actually come back into the team, slowly but surely. And they do have an easy side to the Connacht draw, which actually helps. So maybe they'll come back for them. But for the league campaign, they'll have to rely heavily, but it looks at things anyway, on Derry beating Roscommon or drawing against Roscommon next week. If Roscommon win and Galway lose, then Galway are relegated. So they have to be trading very carefully next week, or else they could end up in Division 2 by this time next year.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, like, and from a Dublin perspective, like a few people saying there, Dublin are All-Ireland favourites, Dublin are unstoppable. Like, obviously, there's still a lot of key players to come back into the side. We've seen Mannion obviously come off the bench, still have Fitzsimons, McCarthy. And speaking to a few Dublin fans over the weekend, like, the narrative maybe is that this is as good as Dublin have looked possibly since the year Dublin won 5 in a row under Jim Gavin. You know, this is the best type of football Dublin have played since then, really, when you're looking at it. Obviously, 2020, Dublin played some phenomenal stuff as well, but that was probably a bit of a strange year with COVID and everything else, lack of games, behind closed doors, everything else. But looking sort of prior to that, like, Dublin look as good as they've ever looked, really. And look, I know it's only a couple of wins and everything else. It was only a couple of weeks ago they lost to Monaghan and they lost to Mayo. Albeit, I actually thought Dublin played pretty well in that defeat against Mayo. But, I mean, is this as good as Dublin have looked since them glory days under Jim Gavin?
I think it's as close to it as you're going to get, yes. I think they look really, really good at the moment. Like, both are performing well, as I mentioned there. And Kitty McGuinness even coming off the bench. Like, I've been crying over him over the last few weeks. We had him for TUD in the Sigurdsson Cup. And he performed well when he came on the last day. So I do think Dublin are in a good place. And let's not forget as well, they are missing the lads. They're missing Cluxton. They're missing Fitzsimons. They're missing McCarthy, McCaffrey as well. They're missing all these players and still producing performance after performance. And that's a worrying thing for the rest of the country. Because what if them lads come back into the team then? Like, it's going to be a worry. It's going to be and I think you'll be, yourself and Seamus will be absolutely delighted with this. But they look all out of contenders already with the players that are coming back into the team. And isn't it amazing what a few wins can do, Aaron, when you think about it? The first two games we were thinking about Dublin not really all out of contenders, and they looked kind of not sharp enough. And then after the Mayo game, something seemed to switch. I don't know what it was. Did Danny Farrell change with the tactics or whatever? But it seems to be working. They look really, really good. The players look like they're performing for the manager. The team look good even without the lads I mentioned there, the experienced force, if you like. So, yeah, I think Dublin look really good at the moment. And the fact, the performance against Kerry, I think that was the moment when we were all thinking, whoa, Dublin look serious here. And the fact they stopped Paddy Clifford, that was the most impressive thing for Dublin, that they found ways to stop Kerry. They stopped Paddy Clifford, therefore stopping the supply going to David Clifford. And I think they'll go with that kind of template, go into the championship as well. And I think I've been really impressed with them at this stage. I think everybody in the GAA world has been really impressed with them too.
If you have to call it now, do Dublin win the All-Ireland this year, do you think?
I said Kerry at the start of the year, but that game in Croke Park, I will say, Aaron, has changed my mind. I'm saying Dublin will win the All-Ireland because they're the only county that have found ways to stop Kerry's supply ball into David Clifford so far. So I think they have the players coming back, as I mentioned there. So I don't see any team stopping them at this moment in time. But then again, Kerry could think about another plan, not having Paddy Clifford deliver the ball in all the time. Maybe they could get Killian Burke and Dylan Ganey into the fray. Maybe they could get Darren Moynihan to come into it. We'll have to see in the next few months, but I'd have to fancy Dublin. If we're talking about right now, you have to fancy Dublin for the All-Ireland. There's no doubts about it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's looking very good from a Dublin perspective. Like, as a Dublin fan, I certainly don't want to get too carried away or anything like that, but it has looked very, very good in fairness. And I do think this is as good as Dublin have looked probably since, 2020, 2019, around that sort of reign. Like, I do think Dublin, for large parts last year, even though they won the All-Ireland, we're very actually quite poor, really, up until that All-Ireland quarter-final win versus Mayo. So, looking very good from a Dublin perspective. And for Galway, as you mentioned before, missing a lot of key players. If they can get those lads back, I still think they're... I don't think they're All-Ireland contenders or anything like that, but I do think they still are a very good side and a tough team to beat, no doubt about it. And they certainly will be in with a chance at winning the Connacht Championship. Last but not least, from Division 1, Roscommon 111, Kerry 117. Very comfortable cruising result, really, from Kerry. You know, they raced into an early lead. Roscommon didn't really seem to have much fight about them. They had a couple of moments here and there to drag themselves back into it. But even with David Clifford missing the penalty, it was still very comfortable for Kerry, really.
It was, and watching the game, like, I thought when Carl Heenan got that goal, I thought maybe the forward will come back into Roscommon and maybe they could challenge Kerry all the way in this game. But even from then until the end, there was no kind of urgency for Roscommon really to push on. And that's kind of a worry for Davy Burke, considering they are in the predicament they are. They're on the way down to Division 2, and there wasn't much fight shown. And that's kind of a worry from a Roscommon point of view. And even with Jason Foley going off, maybe the Kerry players, yeah, Kerry had a walkover, exactly. They looked really, you know, up for this game, and even with David Clifford missed the penalty. And by the way, on that incident, why the referee didn't allow Sean O'Shea's goal to stand, I don't know. What was the thinking behind that? Like, I don't actually get it in many ways. Like, he produced a very good finish. It would have been, no doubt about it, if it counted, it would have been goal to the year because of how smart Sean O'Shea actually spun around and kicked the ball into the top corner. That was really good play. But then for the ref to put it back, I mean, come on. You know, it's really, really poor there. But David Clifford misses the penalty, gets a point out of it. But even then, Roscommon didn't push on, and that was the worrying thing about them. And when Joe Connor scored that goal at the end, it was almost like an inevitability happened. The Kerry were always going to get that goal. Then it happened, and you're like, okay, game over now. And it's just worrying from a Roscommon point of view, as I mentioned. They are going down as well. And yeah, it doesn't look good for them when they face Derry next week. A team that, other than the Dublin game this term, have looked on fire. So I don't see Roscommon getting a result out of that, but they need to win next week to have any chance. But by that performance, I don't think they'll go close to it. As for Kerry, it was good enough. Like, the attacking play was really, really good. Like, it was 80% shot accuracy in the first half. They tailed off in the second. It was 66 overall, but they looked really on fire. Like, David Clifford looked absolutely at his pub, like Sean O'Shea, Paddy Clifford. But then again, Roscommon didn't put much of a challenge on him, so it's kind of hard to judge. But then again, Kerry just has to play what's in front of them. It was a good performance from them, and they'll be hoping to get to a league final next week against Galway. And before I switch over to you, Aaron, hopefully Jason Foley gets recovered soon. Like, that was a nasty injury he got. I see Adam Moynihan's tweet, actually, before we came on air here, there's Colleen, and after the goal, took a bit of a stand on Jason Foley. Looked very nasty. Very nasty injury. And I don't know if the GA actually, if the authorities actually see that from Colleen, and the Roscommon guy could be in a lot of trouble over that.
Absolutely, yeah. But I think the problem in the GA a lot of the time is they might look at it after, but I feel like if they don't do anything during the game, then it's probably just going to be let go, unfortunately, which again probably isn't fair to the circumstances and everything else. And yeah, like, rivalries aside and everything else, you hope Jason Foley makes a quick recovery, no doubt about that. Gavin says, the fact that our 20-year-old goalie could walk through the Kerry defence, like, why could the experienced forwards not go for it? Yeah, like, I suppose with Roscommon, like, even Davy Burke's post-match comments this time around, actually a lot more positive than previous weeks. And it was almost like maybe he's gone too hard on the lads in the last while, and now he's sort of, you know, flipped it around a little bit, which I thought was a little bit interesting, considering, you know, there's been some games this year where I thought Roscommon have done all right and not got results, and, you know, Davy Burke's come out and been very critical, whereas actually in this game, you know, I think he could have been very critical of his team, and he chose not to be. He chose to go the other way. So, yeah, like, for Roscommon, I mean, they do still play Derry next week. And I know, like, maybe this is more of a chat for the preview show later in the week and everything else. But with the fact that Derry, they're obviously not confirmed of a league final just yet, but they're more or less, obviously, we'll throw the league table up in a few moments, like, with score difference and everything else, they should be okay. So is there an argument maybe that Roscommon could still maybe pull it off?
I think, honestly, I don't think they will at this moment of time, this early in the week. But I think probably it'd be similar to the Monaghan situation last year against Mayo. But the difference is Monaghan looked like they had fight in them going into the last game. And Mayo, in hindsight, were definitely confirmed of a league final, so they could afford to rest players. it's the complete opposite here, because Derry still have to get a point to make sure of a league final. And Roscommon as well. Like, they didn't look like they looked interested in the first half, particularly yesterday. And that's kind of a worrying thing for them. If they produce kind of that performance against Derry, Derry could go to town on them. And there's no doubt about it. So, like, I think there's reasons to worry for Roscommon. And I think Derry would want to make sure of a league final. Even Mickey Hart in the post-match interview yesterday was saying there's nothing confirmed yet. So that suggests to me that they're going to go for next week. They're going to go for a league final. So the signs do not look good for Roscommon to stay up. And I think, honestly, Aaron, at this early stage, I think they could even go down to Division 2. But then again, we could be laughing. Roscommon fans could be laughing at us next week and saying that I told you so, and we'll stay up in Division 1. But for right now, looking at the performances so far from both Derry and Roscommon, it doesn't look likely, does it?
No, absolutely not. Like, even, especially with Derry's depth in their panel as well, some of the fresher faces that they've introduced, still some, you know, Garrett McKinless probably needs a bit more minutes and everything else. So, yeah, like, you could see Derry rotate their team a little bit against Roscommon and probably still come out with a victory. So, yeah, it's certainly not looking good from a Roscommon point of view. Gavin says, with Ben O'Carroll playing with Bridgetts and UCD a split season, I think it need tweaking, big blow for the league, but hopefully we should have them for the championship. And Gaelic Ice says Roscommon don't look like a Division 1 side. Yeah, but even like aside from Ben O'Carroll, I just don't think we've seen enough from Roscommon's key players. I think Enda Smith is, you know, has done well in moments. But even at that, I don't think we've saw enough from some of Roscommon's bigger players this year, unfortunately. And I think that's been probably one of the big reasons for them being in the predicament that they're in. Lastly, before we finish up on Division 1, just a word on Kerry. Like, does it suit them a little bit? And I was kind of thinking this before starting the show. A lot of hype, obviously, around Derry and Dublin so far this year. With Dublin's current run of form, Derry, obviously, how strong they've looked. Does it suit Kerry a little bit that, you know, they're sort of, not that they're the third favourites right now, but they are sort of going under the radar ever so slightly. Like, the pressure maybe doesn't seem to be on them as much as it's on Dublin and Derry. Maybe because Dublin and Derry have looked a lot stronger in the league, but you feel like Kerry have kind of just gone about their business very quietly so far.
Yeah, you would say so. And looking at the attack wise, yesterday they looked excellent in the first half. And I actually don't see how Kerry are rated so lowly by many people in the league. There's still some attacking talent there. David Clifford, Sean O'Shea, Paddy Clifford. There are some really, really good players there. And there's no doubts about it. But yeah, I think Kerry look good at the moment, and they look attack-wise, they look good. Joe O'Connor looks good in midfield. Dermot O'Connor still to come back into the team. You've Gavin White in wing back, looks good. Thomas Sullivan didn't even play yesterday, and they were comfortable enough, and that's probably the main thing for them. Shane Ryan looks good in goal. I think the worry for Kerry is out of their control, obviously. It's Jason Foley injury. Who will they put into full back? I'm thinking in my head, they were talking about it on League Sunday, but they did mention this guy, Stephen O'Cumber. Will they put him at full back? Because he has played there at under 20 level. He has played there at minor level. He's a very athletic player. He's played AFL before. He can take on any full forward that he has coming at his down his path. I do think he's an excellent footballer. The problem is he hasn't got enough game time under his belt, and Jason Foley has got most of the games at full back. And that's a worry for Kerry. But then again, Peter Canavan commented last night, I definitely agree with him, that the last league game, Kerry are most likely not going to get to a league final. I think they beat Galway handily enough anyway, with, you know, the Galway around Wild Comber, etc. I do think Kerry will beat them comfortably enough next week at home. And most likely they won't get to a league final, so they'll be going into a Munster Championship, which they're obviously going to win. They're going to hammer Cork and they're going to hammer Clare. So I think he'll go into the All-Ireland series, maybe trialing out Stephen O'Cumber into that full-back position, or maybe somebody else. Maybe Kerry fans feel free to comment below. But yeah, I think that might be an opportunity for Jack O'Connor to maybe trial him out and see how he gets on against players like, I know they won't be up at the higher standard, but players from Clare and Cork, let's say Aaron Griffin or Mark McInerney or Conor Corbett or Brian Hurley, it'd be an opportunity maybe to take Stephen O'Cumber into the full-back position and test him out a bit. So in that way, I think it's a positive for Kerry that they're trying out new fellas into the full-back role while maybe have Jason Foley later on down the season. And that adds depth too. So I do think Kerry are in a decent place at the moment, but it's how they deal with this kind of tie period without Jason Foley in the team.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, no, I think Kerry, I think the thing with Stephen O'Cumber is he hasn't really played too much for Kerry over the last couple of years. I know there's been injury problems there and everything else, but that probably is the issue, is that he just hasn't played enough. So whether Kerry would want to risk that, I'm not entirely sure. Just with the fact that you could try it out, fair enough, in the Munster Championship. But then when it gets to the group stages and you're playing big teams, you know, that maybe things could go wrong there. So, yeah, look, it'll be interesting to see what Jack O'Connor does, in fairness. Looking at the league table, this is how things look. So, as you'll see there, Derry and Dublin are both sitting in the top two. Derry with 10 points, Dublin with 8 points. Kerry are in third with 8 points as well. But as you can see there, a significant score difference swing for both Dublin and Derry. And when you look at Dublin and Derry's last two games as well, Dublin are playing Tyrone at home, and Derry are playing Roscommon as well at home. So that will certainly be very tough, you'd imagine, for Kerry to get into the league final, just with the form of both Dublin and Derry and everything else. And then with the fact that Dublin and Derry both have not only the score difference swing, but also the head-to-head swing as well, like if it was to come down to that. So probably unlikely from a Kerry perspective. Tyrone are safe. Mayo are safe, both there with fourth and fifth. Galway, still a slight chance that they could go down with the fact that Galway and Roscommon drew. So it would go down to score difference there if Roscommon were to win on the final day. So it could depend on, you know, could depend on how things work there. And Monaghan are already relegated there as well with 2 points on the board. Moving on to Division 2, and this was some resounding result for Armagh, 221 to 12 points against Cavan. There were certainly some very interesting games in Division 2 this week in terms of some like big margin of victories. We'll get onto Louth and Fermanagh a little bit later as well. But yeah, like an absolute demolition job here from Armagh. Very, very impressive stuff. And, you know, I mentioned in the preview show and everything else that Armagh, When they let the shackles off, when they play football on the front foot and they play, you know, they express themselves a little bit, there's some team to watch. And like, this was just cruise control stuff.
And the most impressive stat, actually, to this day, going past match day six, Armagh still haven't conceded a goal. Which, and you talk about their attacking exploits and their defence, they're doing just as good. So, like, Armagh look really good at the moment. Reno Lead hasn't played much in the league. Like, Conor Torbett scored a goal from a penalty the other day. Like, Peter McGrane with a good goal to start things off. The quarterback rounded the goalkeeper and putting it into the back of the net. And even looking at the highlights, like, Armagh could have scored about 4 or 5 goals. Anyway, they were that dominant in the game. And they look to be in a serious, serious position at the moment. Like, Oisín Conaghy, another good performance from him. And he seems to be a player to watch going into the championship. You have Stephen Campbell performing well. You have Rory Grugan. And yeah, it all looks really good for Armagh at the moment. And considering their Ulster draw as well, which is slightly easier than the likes of Derry, Donegal, Tyrone, Monaghan, etc., I think they look in a really good place at the moment. And yeah, they look like a team that has to be stopped. And yeah, if they get in the groove, they're something to watch, as you mentioned there. And yeah, even in Division 1 a few seasons ago, they were probably the most exciting team to watch. And even in the All-Ireland quarterfinal, I was at that game against Galway, they looked absolutely superb when they were on the attacking front foot. And if they produce the same kind of performance going to the championship, a last four appearance isn't above the realms of possibility for Armagh. So they look good at the moment, but it's about keeping the consistency going. As for Cavan, look, I know it was a difficult defeat for them, but I think they'll be delighted with their league campaign. They're on 7 points. They're well safe. They were safe before this weekend even started. And yeah, I think they would have been delighted with the league campaign that they have. Even John McMahon mentioned on your show that anything other than a relegation dogfight, anything above that is a bonus for Cavan, with the players that they've been missing. And I think that's the way, from a Breffni point of view. They have looked up good in the league, not so much in this game, but look, it was always going to happen. Armagh, people were talking about this game as maybe being the game of the weekend, a tight game, which Armagh was struggling, which was true. You looked at Cavan's form, and it was all pointing towards Cavan maybe causing a shock, but Armagh put this to bed easily. Like 2-12 to 4 points at halftime. Actually, reading the score at halftime, I was just shocked to read it. Because Cavan looks so good, Armagh look good themselves too, but you would have expected Cavan to put up a test. But just shows the credentials that Armagh have at this moment in time compared to Cavan. Yeah, there is a league final. They're out of Cantor now. And to be honest, next weekend, they can afford to rest a few players against Cork. It doesn't matter to them now. So, yeah, going to the league final and going to the Ulster Championship in very good form. It's a really good time to be an Armagh fan.
Absolutely, yeah. 15-point win. You know, some going against the side who, you know, have when they have lost this year, Kavanagh has been very narrowly and everything else. So, yeah, some going there from Armagh, in fairness. Connor was saying here, I think a season in Division 2 has done Armagh a world of good. Can't wait to see them. An Ulster Gaelic guy was saying that is Armagh without Rian O'Neill. Matt O says Armagh will be the same as usual and Ulster get to the final only to lose to Derry. And Gavin says just an awful performance from Cavan. Thank God they're not going to one. But yeah, Armagh look more like they did in 22 compared to last year. Yeah, and an interesting thing, you know, about sides in Division 2 in the last couple of years, like obviously Dublin were in Division 2 last year, went on to win the All-Ireland. Derry were All-Ireland semi-finalists the year before. You had Galway who came through Division 2. They went on to play in the All-Ireland final. The same happened in 2021 with Mayo who were in Division 2. So, I mean, could Armagh maybe... Armagh All-Ireland contenders, do you think, or what do you reckon? I mean, fair enough, like it is Division 2, so it's a hard one to judge. They haven't played the same quality as Derry, you know, Derry, Dublin, Kerry, and the likes of Tyrone and everything else in Division 1. But Armagh maybe quietly just putting together a bit of a push here for not just an Ulster title, but potentially an All-Ireland, because, you know, they haven't been a million miles off in the last couple of years, realistically. I know they've lost in quarterfinals, but, you know, they have lost them games on penalties. So I don't think they're a million miles off. What do you think?
I don't think they are either. When you look at the players that they have at their disposal, the manager that they have, the all-round talent that they have all over the field, I do think there's a lot of potential for Armagh to reach an All-Ireland quarterfinal. They look good at the moment. They look attacking, free-flowing. And what the most pleasing aspect for Armagh is they can play attacking, free-flowing football and they haven't conceded a goal down the other end. So even when they're attacking, free-flowing, they're still look really, really sturdy in defence too. So that's a positive for Armagh, I think. And it definitely shows that they can contend for All-Ireland Championships. And they look absolutely superb at the moment. And the fact they have an easy enough Ulster draw, I think, helps them. And like the fact that they haven't conceded any goals and they're playing free-flowing, attacking football, maybe it'll be a Kieran McGeaney and Kieran McKeever or Kieran Donaghy think, actually, that, hold on a sec, if we can play attacking football and not concede any goals down the other end, maybe we should do this for the rest of the championship. And you see this in 2022 in particular, when they lost that quarterfinal to Galway on penalties. Armagh were the most, probably, in some aspects, they were the second best team in the country that season after Kerry. So, like, it shows what Armagh can do. They have a very good talent pool. They have a good tactics at the moment. They have a good coach. And yeah, they look very good at the moment. What I will say before we end the chat about Armagh, a lot of Armagh fans were actually saying to me that Kieran McGeaney needs to go. He's a useless manager. And I said, be careful for what you wish for. Like, if McGeaney goes, your confidence level might drop a few pegs. But look at them this season. They look really, really good. They look sharp. So I'd be positive if I was an Armagh fan. And those who were saying McGeaney out at the start of the season, I'd love to know where you are now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, like I think that they're certainly putting a lot of the Armagh doubters to bed. Make no question about that. Gaelic guys has mixed the two play styles from the 2 years is working right now. Yeah, like it just seems to be the balance. I think the balance seems to be there, which was maybe missing a bit last year and the year before. Dublin's grace is Armagh found a better keeper. Calvin says I couldn't see them get near Kerry or Dublin. Derry maybe purely because Ulster rivalry. And Connor says Blaine Hughes is great. Rafferty should be out the middle of the field. So there we go. Moving on then. Loud, huge win for them against Fermanagh. 6-17 to 11 points. Again, like another game we expected, you know, at the opposite end of the table that was going to be close. You know, it was going to be competitive and everything else. You know, but Fermanagh, when they have lost, you know, up until this game, it hasn't, you know, they haven't received any bat runs or anything, even when they've come up against strong teams like, you know, Donegal, Armagh, and everything else. But yeah, this was absolutely resounding. Like, what was that? 24-point win. Mental stuff here from a loud perspective. For both teams, really.
Yeah, for one thing, you wouldn't have seen Loud scoring six goals in a game against an Ulster side. And that's nearly unheard of. So yeah, it was absolutely outstanding. When I actually seen the score at half time, I think it was 3-6 to 6 points. I was thinking, what on earth is going on here? Like, Fermanagh seemed to be sturdy in many games in Division 2, and conceding six goals was absolutely mental, as you mentioned there. And yeah, that's exactly what it was, Gavin. Yeah. Yeah, it was just an annihilation, really. And I think the first goal that Loud scored was a bit of, you know, naivety from our point of view. They've done well in the league, but Ross Moore coming out to the half away line in a crucial game. Then I think it was Samuel Roy just to knock the ball into an empty net. Like, that's just naivety in its own state of mind. And yeah, Fermanagh looked absolutely outplayed, outclassed, and Loud march on. And but then again, Aaron, we see Division 2 change like the flip of a coin. Kildare could even beat Loud because of pride and everything next week. And Fermanagh could go out and beat Cavan now that they can't get promoted. So it's not over yet. Loud still have another round to go. But it would be difficult for Fermanagh to get themselves back into contention after a defeat like that against Cavan next week. It'd be very difficult. But then again, Division 2, best division out of the four in terms of entertainment. So you never know what happened next week, but for right now, it's a very good win for Loud. And to score six goals in any game, never mind a relegation to a four-pointer, is absolutely superb in many ways.
Yeah, Calvin says here, I was in our RD. Fermanagh were awful. Every time we turned them over, you thought goal. We could have scored nine goals. So there we go. Fermanagh are gone, says Dublin is great. And James also says Fermanagh were awful. Architects of their own downfall. Was like rugby running from one square to the other. Yeah, like, and I suppose like a lot of us at the start of the year did expect Fermanagh to go down. They were sort of the easy pick out of the eight teams and everything else. And they had a very good start to the league, obviously beating Kildare, drawn with Meath as well. They had a strong enough start, but just it does just seem like they've completely lost their way. And in fairness to Loud, you know, Loud have, I felt, have been very unlucky at different times this year in some of the games I've watched them in. So I think this is one of them games where everything just clicked for Loud. Like Samuel Roy, what, 2 goals and 5 points from him, outstanding. Like multiple different scores throughout the game. Kieran Keenan getting on the score sheet, Connor Grimes, Tom Jackson with goals, Kieran Downey getting a goal as well, Peter Lynch getting a goal. So, like, and like when you look at it here, like I think they had what 9 or 10 different scores as well. So like just outstanding stuff from Loud, really.
It was. It was just, you know, it was like, almost like a wave of attack after attack. And yeah, it was just, as the Loud fans were saying in the comment, they're relegated Cavan in 2021. Cavan would love to return the favour. Yeah, potentially. Potentially, yeah, there's a rivalry between Cavan and Fermanagh. I think John would actually explain it more than we would. But yeah, like they'd love to relegate Fermanagh, there's no doubt about it. And the confidence is just going to be on the floor for them Fermanagh players. And they looked absolutely dejected, really, ever since the first goal went in from a lob. They looked, even looking at the report from Valerie Wheeler last night, it looked like Fermanagh were just out of it once the goal went in. And there was no coming back after that. But for Loud to score six goals, it just shows that their credentials are high enough. And a lot of people have been saying that Loud are below the likes of Clare and Meath, including myself, for the last few seasons. But Loud have produced that good performance there that might think people might think, saying, whoa, hold up the truck. Loud could be on the run here. So, yeah, they look good at the moment. They go into the next game against Kildare. But as I said previously, there's a job to be done next week. They have to focus on that. A draw will be enough against Kildare next week, given the head-to-head record against Fermanagh, and now that they beat them, obviously, this weekend. So they'll be focused on next week, getting results against Kildare. But then again, it could all change. If they lose to Kildare and Fermanagh squeak a win over Cavan, that's all it takes, Aaron. So Loud have to be focused. It was a good win this weekend, but they have to focus for next weekend. Now, this attention has to switch pretty sharp, because that's what the league is. It's cutthroat, it's fast, it's like it's quick game after quick game, and that's what Loud need to focus on now.
Absolutely, yeah. Matt says, Fermanagh started well in Division 2, but in my opinion, don't have the quality to keep up in the division. Fair play to them for putting up a fight, and I can see them coming back up next year. Yeah, absolutely. If they do go down, which probably is looking likely, you know, I still think they can be quite proud of their efforts. And you just think back, obviously, to that game against yourselves as well, against Cork. You know, if they had got over the line in those closing minutes, how different maybe the season might have been. So I do think Fermanagh can take a lot of positives, regardless of what happens next weekend. They should just really write the Loud game off and focus in. And if they're in the Tailteann Cup or whatever else happens, you know, in Ulster and everything else, you would still look at them as one of the strong teams to potentially go far in that competition. In fairness, one team that we know is relegated was Kildare. It finished 1-8, Donegal 17 points. You felt like when Alex Byrne got that goal for Kildare, maybe they might be able to push on and get something from it. But Donegal kicked on more so after that. And yeah, like it just seemed like a very comfortable result really from a Donegal perspective. Kildare certainly had their moments. And you know, they can take maybe some slight positives from this game, but overall, like I suppose Donegal have beaten Kildare. Kildare, I think we've known for some time, have been relegated. And as Glenn Ryan said in his post-match speech or comments and everything else, you know, maybe the relief will come a bit more now and they can just focus on Leinster.
Yeah, exactly. And I just think Kildare have showed a lot of fight over the last 3 weeks, in particular against Meath, against Cork, and in this game against Donegal. Like when Alex Byrne scored that goal, you were thinking, okay, there's a comeback on here. And the fact they only lost by six against Donegal, a Donegal team, by the way, who've been excelling in Division 2 under Jim McGuinness, I think it's a positive for Kildare. I really think so. And I think they'll take those performances hopefully into the Leinster Championship for their sakes and get to the Leinster final. They have Westmeath to play, they have Louth to play, and I think they're well capable of beating those sides. I know Louth scored six goals this weekend, but I do think Kildare, once they turn it on, they're still a very good side and they are a dangerous side to be reckoned with. Like if they get Jimmy Hyland back into the team, if they get Daniel Flynn playing more regularly, if they get Kevin Feely, Kevin O'Callaghan, I do think there's some very good players in the Kildare team. So I do think there's still an opportunity to save their season in the Leinster Championship, but ultimately it was confirmed. Well, it's confirmed this weekend, but it was, you know, known for some time that they were going to go down. As for Donegal, they're promoted back to the Division 1 and where they should be with the talent that they have with Jim McGuinness at the helm. And they could go into the Meath game now in Ballybofey next week, not needing anything. They could just go in swimming and free into it. And maybe rest a few players, because let's not forget, after the Meath game, they have a league final against Armagh and Croke Park. Nice opportunity to get some silverware. And then they have Derry in the Ulster Championship. Tough game, but I think Donegal will definitely be, you know, fancy their chances a small bit. It's a challenge, Derry, in many ways. So, yeah, I think it's a good time to be a Donegal fan. Not so much of a good time to be a Kildare fan, but they can easily turn their season around once Leinster comes around in the next few weeks.
Yeah. Gaelic Eye says, I still think Kildare can make the Leinster final, and Dublin was great, says Kildare were better than I thought. Yeah, like looking at the draw, like they do have Loud on that side of the draw. Westmeath are there as well. Like I would put Loud and Westmeath both ahead of Kildare right now, in my opinion. Obviously, Kildare still have some, you know, big players maybe to come back, like Jimmy Hyland and Darragh Kirwan. Don't know the status of their injuries and whether they'll be back by the time the Leinster Championship comes around. It's not impossible for Kildare. But one thing I was thinking is, you know, would it act like... Because if Kildare get to a Leinster final, let's say they were to get past Loud and get past Westmeath, you know, Westmeath in the quarterfinals, provided Westmeath beat Wicklow, which you would expect. And then obviously Loud, provided they beat either Carlow or Wexford, which you would expect as well. Kildare gets to a Leinster final. We know it's going to be Dublin in the final. I know Kildare had almost pulled off something miraculous last year against Dublin. You would imagine Dublin would beat them fairly comfortably in the Leinster final. Especially with Dublin are looking even better probably than they were last year. And then Kildare go into the All-Ireland series and they could be potentially be on the end of some more big beatings. So could it actually be better for Kildare to just go into the Tailteann Cup and maybe, you know, you've got a chance to try different things out, a chance to try out younger players, a chance to build a bit of confidence and maybe win a major piece of silverware, which Kildare haven't done for a long, long time.
Maybe so, but at the same time, would Kildare and Glenn Ryan and the Kildare followers want to be in the Tailteann Cup? The answer is no. They simply wouldn't. With the talent that's come through over the last few seasons, with the positivity that was there last year, challenging Dublin, beating Roscommon, and under 20 level winning the All-Ireland, that positivity might drain down after that if they go into the Tailteann Cup. But that's just the reality of it. I don't think... maybe it's a good point, though, because Kildare are not going to win Leinster. There's no doubt, but I do think there's good players there, but Dublin are wise ahead of them. Do I think they'll win the All-Ireland? No, simply. Like, it's a really tough one because Kildare don't want to be in that position. And I know Kildare fans, like a few that I've seen online and stuff like that, they do not want to be in this competition. It's as simple as that. They want to be in the Sam Maguire Cup. They want to be contending for an All-Ireland quarterfinal and All-Ireland semi-final, stuff like that. Like in 2010, for example, they reached the All-Ireland semi-final. Those were the days to be a Kildare fan. And they want to be back up at those stages again. And another thing as well, like if they get to the Tailteann Cup, those under 20 players might rethink and think, I'd be better off just going traveling here rather than playing in a second tier competition. Like the hunger won't be there in the Tailteann Cup as it is for the Sam Maguire Cup. You see what I'm saying, Aaron? Like it's just, I think it's a different mentality from Kildare to different counties. It's the same with Cork, it's the same with Mead. Well, we thought that would be last year, but they actually excelled in the Tailteann Cup last season. But you look at Down a few seasons ago, I think two seasons ago in the Tailteann Cup, the likes of Quaylon Mooney and all them quit once they went to the Tailteann Cup. Once they lost to Monaghan, that was it. They just quit the panel after that. And the same could happen to Kildare. It could. So I do think there might be a bit of negativity around the camp if they end up in that competition. I do see your point on they could win a trophy. But I don't think it's Kildare County Board, the Kildare management, the Kildare players, and most especially the fans, don't want to be in this competition. It's just the way it is. It's just the way inter-county teams like Kildare and Dave Waters work. But that's just the way it is. I don't think Kildare would want to be in the competition. And I think a lot of Kildare fans would agree with me on this, more or less. But it's up for discussion, maybe, for Kildare fans in the comments below.
Yeah, I should go outside, says none of the younger players want to play for Kildare at the minute. It does seem to be that way right now in terms of under 20 players and everything else. But yeah, like I just think I do get what your point in the sense that Kildare as a county maybe should be aspiring for more, a bit like Meath, a bit like Cork and everything else. But, you know, Meath have a much more of a rich history in terms of winning All-Irelands, winning Leinster titles. And you look at how they embraced the Tailteann Cup last year. You look at how there were players within that Meath panel who definitely dropped out and didn't want to play. And I think Colm O'Rourke then was able to be like, well, who wants to play for Meath? Who wants to be a part of this Meath setup? Made all the changes that he had to make. And then Meath went on a run and won that competition. And you've seen how much more of a togetherness is in the Meath panel now as there was this time last year, as an example. And I think that could potentially could work for Kildare. I really do. And I know, fair enough, they should be aspiring for more and everything else. But I think going into the All-Ireland group stages where, you know, obviously with the way the structure is, they might finish third and then they'll go into a preliminary round. We don't know the draws and ins and outs and everything else. But even at that, I just don't think, you know, if you could realistically see Kildare get to an All-Ireland quarterfinal or a semi-final, you think, yeah, fair enough, let's go into the All-Ireland series. But I just think if they're going to be on the ends of heavy beatings and big results, which I think probably will happen, then I just couldn't see it doing them any favours right now, in my opinion, you know?
Yeah, it's a good point to make, actually, and about Meath as well. Not excelling in the Tailteann Cup when players are coming back into the team. But I think Kildare, honestly, but I look at the players, but I look at Glenn Ryan, I think they have a different mentality to what Meath felt last season. Like, I think Meath were kind of thinking they need this competition to get back up on the pedestal in many ways and to get the young players integrated. For Kildare, like those players, let's imagine, does Jimmy Hyland, Daniel Flynn, Mick O'Grady, Mark Donlan, Kevin O'Gallan, Kevin Feely, realistically, how many of those players would want to play in the Tailteann Cup? I would say the majority wouldn't, because they have standard. Like, when you think about the B panel last year, the only experienced player, more or less, in that panel was Donal Keoghan. And honestly, he wanted to play in that competition. But I think the majority of the Kildare experienced players wouldn't want to play in it. And when you look at maybe the under-20 success last season, you looked at Maynooth University doing well and Dara Kieran doing well in that competition in the Sigurdsson Cup, getting to the semi-final, and then for him to be told, okay, you're playing in the Tailteann Cup, second-tier competition in football, what will that do to his confidence? It won't do much good. So I think, honestly, it wouldn't be good for Kildare to go down to the Tailteann Cup, because I think players will leave the panel, first of all. I don't think players will embrace the Tailteann Cup the way Meath did. And I think ultimately it might degrade them a small bit. I think there's every possibility they could win it. But for them to win it, every player has to pull their weight. And I don't think Kildare have the mentality in the panel to pull weight when it comes to the Tartan Cup. If it comes to the All-Ireland, I think Kildare will fight. But when it comes to the Tartan Cup, I don't think Kildare players might just say, that's it, I might just leave. I might just go to America or Australia or something like that. It might be better at the use of my time. So I don't think the Kildare players will embrace it as much as me did last season. That's what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah, it is an interesting one, all right. And yeah, do let us know, anyone who's tuning in, like, what do you think about Kildare? Like, are they better to, you know, go into the All-Ireland? Obviously, they have to come through Leinster, first of all. And look, maybe if they get wins against the likes of Louth and Westmeath, that might give them a bit of confidence going into the All-Ireland series, and things might change ever so slightly. But I would be curious to know, even for any Kildare fans as well, like, would you rather go into that All-Ireland series where maybe you won't win a game, or would you rather go into the Tailteann Cup where you would certainly be one of the, you might win the Tailteann Cup, but you'll certainly be one of the contenders. So yeah, it'd be interesting to understand people's opinions on that. Two teams that won't be in the Tailteann Cup this year, by the looks of things, are both Meath and Cork. Meath 111, Cork 115. You were at the game in Navan. Great result for the Rebels.
Yeah, massive results. And I will say, they were 111 to 108 down, I think, after Matthew Costello scored a goal and Rory Kinsley got a point. That it looked like Meath were cruise control going to the last 15 minutes. But what Cork have proved in this game, that they showed fight. And they showed fight in spades in the last few minutes. Like, I think they showed, in the last 10 minutes of the game, 8 shots, 7 converted. And that was brilliant. It really was. And this is when players were actually tiring. And this is a huge thing from a Cork point of view, that players are actually performing well. Like, Conor Corbett was brilliant on Saturday. And I think in the first 3 games, I think you see a common denominator here. We were without Conor Corbett and lost every single one of them. Since the Fermanagh game, we've had him and we've won every single one of them. I think this guy is the key. He's an unbelievable forward. He's done it at minor level, under 20 level, and he's just a brilliant, brilliant forward. Probably, I might be biased in saying this, but I think he's one of the best forwards in the country on form. I think he's just an incredible forward in the skill level, his determination. He's, you know, his mind for the game as well. Every time he sees the goal, he's going to go for it. You see the Kildare game, he went towards the goal, back of the net. Meath game, in the first few minutes, back of the net as well. Like, he's just a very good footballer. And as well as that, there was a moment in the second half. I think Stephen Sherlock leveled, or actually, it was Corbett himself, leveled the game with a superb score. And then me take a kick out short to Sean Brennan. Conor Corbett pushes up and Donal Keoghan turns the ball over. Stephen Sherlock puts the ball over. Like, that is, you know, brilliant play in spades from the Cork footballers. It looked really, really good. The last few weeks, it was negativity. It's now positivity. I think there's a possibility for Cork to even get 2 more wins in the bounce. Like, you look at Armagh next week, they might rest a few players. Would Ryan O'Neill come down to Cork? Probably not. Would Rory Grogan? So there is an opportunity for Cork to maybe extend that winning run in many ways. We have to keep that pressure going up. And then, like, against Limerick, it looks pretty good that we'll get that win as well, considering they've gone down to Division 4. And we'll be going to the Kerry game with a bit of confidence going to Killarney. I know we won't win against Kerry, there's no doubt about it. Kerry are up in the top teams within the country, but look, it looks really good for Cork at the moment. And fair play to the players, fair play to John Cleary for changing up the tactics. And it just shows, if we push up on kickouts, if we play attacking football, we're a very good team. And we could be a decent team for anybody to come across the way in the championship. So I do think there's positives for Cork, but the key is to play the right way. And I think we have played the right way in the last few games, and we've heeded our reward. So fair play to Cork for that. As for Meath, I don't think it's doom and gloom for them. I do think it was a good performance the last day. Like, Matthew Costa was brilliant at full forward. I do think that Keane McBride in midfield was very good. Sean Brennan in goal, his 45s, he scored 3 points the last day. Really good performance from him. Owen Frayne in the first half kept him in it. Shane Walsh, if he's in form, looks really, really good. And Jordan Marks is still to go back into the team. So I do think there's positivity in Meath. They played a good game too. It was a good game, but decent enough sides. I think Cork has won today, but Meath might say that they win the battle come the end of the year. We'll have to see. But or Meath win the war, should I say, come the end of the year, where both sides reflect on how far they go in the championship. But I think it was a good win for Cork, really well needed. We're not avoiding the Tailteann Cup just yet. I think we need to beat Armagh, and then I think it will be safe, that we'll get get Sam Maguire Cup this season. But it all looks good. It all looks rosier than the last few weeks. And it's amazing what a few changes of tactics can do and Conor Carver can do with this team.
Absolutely, yeah. Like a few people saying here, Macy says here, Cork could have a 2020 Munster repeat coming there playing excellent football. And Gavin says, but Cork compete with Kerry in the groups, so why not in Munster? I mean, Kerry would obviously be massive favourites, but do Cork have any chance? Like, you know, Jim Carrey in that meme, you're saying we have a chance?
No, I was asked this on Cork's Red FM by Dan Casey. I checked out the show, if you haven't already, on Spotify. He was talking about the Cork B game and stuff like that. And he asked me the same question. Do Cork have a chance of beating Kerry, or is that me being wishful? And I basically said to Dan, sorry, Dan, you're being wishful here. I don't think we're getting close to Kerry. And I think the commenters here, no, we're not. Look, we're on a good run at the moment, but Kerry have outstanding players. Paddy Clifford, David Clifford, Sean O'Shea. And if they click, it really click. And they're in Canary as well. Cork haven't beaten them in Canary since 1995 in the championship. So I don't see it changing now. I don't think we'll beat Kerry. There is a possibility, of course there is, but I don't think Cork at this stage, I don't think we're capable of beating Kerry. Let's not forget, it all looks rosy at the moment, but we did lose to Cavan and Loud at the start of the league too. So we have a bad performance in us as well. So I think we're doing well at the moment, and I think we're well on course to preserving Sam Maguire status. But I don't think we'll beat Kerry. I'm being realistic now. I don't think we're getting close to them, honestly, in Killarney. I think Kerry, if they, it's the thing, really. Like, Cork's ceiling is here. Kerry's ceiling is up here. Kerry need to go down a few pegs for us to get to their level. And I think Jack O'Hanlon would want to beat Cork. I think he'd want to pummel us in many ways. So I think he'd want to get up for the game more as much as John Cleary would for Cork. So I think it's still going to be a very difficult task for us to beat Kerry. But I think it's looking better for us performance-wise. But to answer your question, Aaron, no, I don't think we're beating Kerry.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either, in fairness. And I think, yeah, like it is strange. There has been some surprisingly close games between Kerry and Cork in the last couple of years, which maybe is a little bit surprising considering, you know, how big the gap actually looks between both teams. But yeah, I think whatever way it goes, you would still expect Kerry to get the job done. So Division 2 looks a little like this. Armagh and Donegal are both promoted with 11 points. Cavan, Cork and Meath are all safe, so they've nothing to worry about going into the final game. Louth are obviously there with 4 points. And you've obviously got Fermanagh with 3 points. Kildare finishing bottom. Just on that, actually, like with the fact that the Tailteann Cup or with the fact that the All-Ireland Championship is structured the way it is with, you know, Clare potentially, if Clare don't get promoted, it could be likely they get to a Munster final. So there could be a scenario, I think, where the sixth place team potentially does end up in the Tailteann Cup. So does that mean that there's still actually a bit to play for Cork going into the final game? Because actually, when you look at that league table again, like you'll see Louth there with plus 17. So they have a huge score difference margin. And if Meath were to get something in their final game, like there is the possibility Cork finished sixth. So you could still end up playing in the Tailteann Cup.
Yeah, I think there's a vital game next week against Armagh. And that's why I'm hoping the likes of Reno Need, Rory Grug and Conor Turbitt, all them will be resting next week. Because I don't think it's as important game for Armagh. It's a vital game for Cork. Because as you mentioned there, sixth place could easily get in. Play devil's advocate for a moment. Clare already in the Munster final. They'll beat Tipperary Waterford easily anyway. If Kildare get to the Leinster final and if Down get to the Ulster final, then sixth place is exempt from the Sam Maguire Cup. They'll go into the Tailteann Cup. So, like, if you're looking from that standpoint, it doesn't look good. It really doesn't. So, yes, it is a vital game against Armagh next week. Meath might not be taking the same thing against Donegal next week because they're already in the Sam Maguire already. Loud, like, they'll be thinking kind of the same thing as well. Like, they want to beat Kildare as well, judging by that kind of graphic. If we get a draw against Armagh next week, I think we'll be above. I think we should finish fourth or fifth, and that should be enough for us to preserve Sam Maguire status. But then again, with the permutations and stuff, you never know. So I think to be safe than sorry, I think we have to beat Armagh next week and avoid the Tailteann Cup once and for all. And that would be the key for her. next weekend. So yeah, there's still a lot to play for those middle of the ground teams, for Cork in particular, and for Loud more so than relegation, but for preserving Sam Maguire's status too.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, we'll move on to Division 3. Westmeath, 13 points down, 110. Both sides remain unbeaten. Obviously, both sides have been coming in with 100% winning record. And that record is over for both sides. But they do both draw, which does open the gap up a little bit for Clare in terms of promotion and everything else. But first of all, thoughts on this one? Finishes as a draw, like Down had been very high scoring coming into this. So you have to commend Westmeath's defence for being able to shut out Down. And it was Ryan McAvoy who scored a late point there to rescue the draw for Down going into injury time. So a draw, probably not the best result maybe for either side. Like it does leave a slight chance now for like any slip-ups on the final day. And yeah, like after all the great work for either of these two, there is a chance one of them doesn't get promoted.
Exactly, yeah. I'm keen to see it'd be more a negative result for Down than it would be for Westmeath. I'm not sure who Westmeath are playing off the top of my head the last game. I think it's Wicklow, isn't it, that they're playing?
Yeah.
So I think they'll beat Wicklow pretty handily, Westmeath. So that leaves Down and Clare, and that's a huge game next week.
Actually, it's Sligo they're playing, actually. Sorry.
Sligo. So, yeah, that's a tight game as well. But then again, would Sligo want to prepare more for the Connacht Championship now that they're safe and they're middle ground? So Westmeath will find it easy. So there's a lot of ifs, buts and maybes here. But I think Westmeath will probably be more positive about the draw than Down would. I know Down through that Ryan McAvoy point and Daniel Guinness getting the goal, I think. But it looks at the game itself, it looked like Down would have been much happier with the draw. But now it means next week they have to get a result against Clare. If they avoid a slip-up against Clare, a last-minute fluky goal or anything like that, and Clare are up instead of Down, and Down will be kicking themselves if they let promotion slip at this stage, you know. So, yeah, they have to be on their toes next week. That's the big thing from a Down point of view. But the draw in this game in particular, is it a fair result? It probably is. Like Westmeath, Robbie Ford produced a very good performance in this game. It was probably a slow burner. The first half was poor enough, scoring-wise. Then it exploded the life in the second half. But I think Westmeath will be happier with the draw. Down will be going in probably with gritted teeth next week going to the Clare game. I know it's in Park Esler, and I know the Down folk will be behind them. But Clare are a tough team. They're a tough cookie to crack. So I think it will be tough for Down next week, but for Westmeath, I think they should go up at this stage, given that they have Sligo next week. It's either are essentially playing for nothing.
Yeah, Gavin says, very boring first half, but the game's ending got very insane and entertaining with who gets the winner at the end. Yeah, well, it was going back and forth, and you weren't too sure who was going to potentially come out on top, and in the end, obviously, finishes as a draw. And as we were saying, it was a huge result, obviously, for Clare, who got the better of Antrim by 3 points. It was Clare 15, Antrim 12. So, as you were saying there, it just gives Clare a slight chance going into the final game. And fair play to them, because a lot of people wrote Clare off very quickly at the start of the year. And they could very well still be playing Division 2 football next year.
Exactly. So, and one we give credit for is Mark Fitzgerald. What a job he's done. 11 players to leave the panel. Not just 11 ordinary players, but 11 of your spine. Keenan Sexton, Owen Cleary, Kieran Russell, Carl O'Connor, Darren O'Neill, to name a few. Like, for them to leave the panel, and for younger players like Ike Ogwaru or Aaron Griffin or Emmett McMahon to step up more than they ever have before, I think it's a testament to the Clare players' belief and the manager that they have in Mark Fitzgerald. It's fair play to Clare. Really, really good performance from them. Good win at the weekend against Antrim as well. And it just shows football isn't dead in Clare quite yet. And going up to Park Esler next week, it seems like a tall order. But Clare, given the performance they've shown in the league so far, they'll go into that game showing no fear.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, and looking at the last two games in Division 3, Sligo 13 points, Offaly 110. Nigel Dunn with a late point there to get Offaly the draw. And Wicklow, maybe a little bit surprisingly, got the win there against Limerick, considering Wicklow had been beaten quite convincingly last week. And you did feel like Limerick maybe were coming in as slight favourites. But yeah, 1 point win, 9 points to 8. And it does actually have some permutations to the Division 3 table, as we will have a look here. So as we can see, down in Westmeath, both with 11 points clear with 10 points. But down near the bottom, you have Limerick, who are already relegated. But you've got Wicklow on 2 points, Offaly on 3, Antrim are 4 points. And interesting enough, next week, it is Wicklow and Antrim who play each other. So, yeah, potentially, like, Antrim could potentially still get relegated and Wicklow could still potentially put it off.
But it'll take a major miracle for that to happen, Aaron. I think Wicklow need to beat Antrim by 15 points, according to my calculations anyway, and Offaly need to draw their game. Or, wait a minute.
Well, the head-to-head, I think, yeah.
Head-to-head, yeah. If Offaly win, they're on 5 points. And if Wicklow beat Antrim, Antrim are done.
Hmm. Yeah. Provided Offaly lose, obviously, on their final game. And Offaly, the only thing is, though, Offaly are playing Limerick. So that probably will be... Probably will be unlikely.
Yeah, I think Offaly should win that. So it all goes down to Wicklow Antrim, so... Jesus. This is a relegation for Winter that we all need. But Antrim, defensively sound... Like, you'd expect Antrim to win that game. And when you think about it, Aaron, Antrim looked very good at the start of the season. 2 wins in a row, and everybody was talking about them going to the down game, being a potential promotion four-pointer. But if Antrim were to go down, and it looks likely now, given the explanations and everything that you made there, if Antrim go down, that would be just incredible in its own right. So Wicklow have given themselves a bit of a fighting chance here. So... yeah, it all goes down to the final game here. As for promotion, I think Down should get the job done against Clare, but it will be a tight game, no doubt about it, in Park Esler. And it depends where Wicklow Antrim actually is, Aaron. If that is on an Ockram, fancy Wicklow there.
But yeah, I think it's in Corrigan Park, from having a look at it here, looking at Scorbio. So, I mean, Scorbio says it's in Casement Park, which obviously it's not. So, Corrigan Park, you'd imagine.
So I think Antrim should get the job done there. So, but judging by the explanations there, it's going to be a tasty final day. Like Wicklow, imagine this, conceded 5 goals against Offaly and everybody said, oh yeah, they're done. But then it's a win against Limerick and potentially Antrim. And they're safe.
Yeah.
I love the league, Aaron. I love the league. It's incredible.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. And it does tend to throw up some mad surprising results. And everything else, and yeah, going into obviously that final round of games, it should make it very interesting. Another game that did surprise a lot of people in Division 4, Leitrim beating Laois, 113 to 17 points. Leitrim obviously coming in on a bit of poor run of form after a couple of defeats on the bounce. Laois had won 5 from 5. Everyone was expecting them to win this game, and yeah, fair play to Leitrim. When we look at the league table, like bizarrely enough, it's still going to be very tough for them to get promoted, even with this win. Even though they're on the same amount of points as Longford and Wexford, it's just because of the final couple of fixtures. But yeah, you're looking at it and thinking, fair play to Leitrim for digging out this win.
Exactly. Yeah, and even looking to the promotion fight towards the end of it. Like, I think Wexford play Longford, they're on 8 points, and it's a situation like if Leitrim beat Tipperary in the last game, which we're expecting them to do, they're hoping for Longford to lose to Wexford for them to go up, or a draw. If Longford win in Longford, we're just taking from the point that Laois beat Waterford, because I think that's going to happen, to be honest with you, and Laois should go up pretty handily. So they're basically relying, they have to beat Tipperary themselves, and they have to rely on other results to go their way. So, like, it's going to be an interesting final day, Aaron. How will the mind games go? Like imagine if Wexford win the game against Longford and still don't go up after producing a brilliant performance against Tipperary, which we'll get on to later, and still don't go up. Like, yeah. It's just so fraught, it really is. And, yeah, it's going to be an interesting final day. But as for the game itself, it's a brilliant result for Leitrim. Barry Mendolte getting the last bit of point in this game. And yeah, jubilant scenes, I'd imagine, in Port Laois. Brilliant result for them. Unexpected, but Leitrim are still in the hunt.
Absolutely. And Wexford are still in the hunt as well. They beat Tipperary 4-10 to 8 points. Sean Nolan with 2 goals. Mark Rossiter, 2 goals there as well. Is it like Wexford have been that kind of bizarre team in the last couple of years where they struggle with inconsistencies and everything else? it looks like maybe now they might just be finally, you know, kicking on a little bit in Division 4 and finally looking like they're going to get out of this division. Because, like, when you look at some of the results they've produced in the last couple of years, beating the likes of Offaly in the Championship and everything else, you've expected Wexford at some point surely are too good for Division 4. And it's looking like now might finally be the year.
But then again, like, they could win the final game against Longford and still not go up, because their opponents that they beat in this game, Tipperary, are going to Leitrim next week, and it looks like Leitrim will win that game because Tipperary football is in a dire state at the moment. They will probably go into that more in the summer for another day. But for Wexford, it's a brilliant result. And Ben Brosnan obviously getting the record, equaling, I think, 174th appearance, which is a brilliant achievement for him. And Mark Rossiter and Sean Nolan, as you mentioned there, brilliant performances from them, getting a brace each. So, yeah, really good result for Wexford. They look to be on an upper trajectory. But probably the frustrating thing for them is that they lost the game against Leitrim in match day, I think, 3, if correct me if I'm wrong, through a last-minute penalty for Ryan O'Rourke. That will come back to bite them, more than likely. So it's disappointing for Wexford, but, yeah, that's how the cookie crumbles with the league. It's just, it's why we love it, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And Longford, very much still in the mix as well. 14 points to 8 victory for them. Probably does rule out Carlow, but certainly does keep Longford's hopes alive. And London got their first win of 2024 against Waterford, 113 to 11 points. Obviously, a game that didn't have much meaning in the reflection of the table and everything else, but I'm sure it will mean a lot to London to get their first win of the year. Thoughts on both of them results? Longford, great result for them as well. And as we were saying, like, it just, yeah, just opens it wide open going into the final round of fixtures.
And the thing is, it's more than likely no Longford go up. Because if they beat Wexford, they'll be ahead of Leitrim on the head-to-head. Leash will beat Waterford more likely next weekend, so Longford will go up. So all they have to do is produce a good performance against Wexford. So they're in a very, very good position at the moment. And let's not forget, Aaron, after 2 games against Leash and Tipperary, they lost both games. For them to go up after that, potentially, is some turnaround. And fair play to Longford for that. Carlow, I'll be safe to say this, Aaron, they are out of the promotion race because Longford and Wexford are playing each other. So, Carlow, they produced good performances over the last few weeks, but a fail, like after the Wexford game, that was just a kick in the teeth, really, wasn't it? Getting hammered in that game at home. And, yeah, they're not going to get promoted as a result. As for London and Waterford, good result for London. Good confidence-boosting win for them. For Waterford, the way for a win goes on, and hopefully for Paul Shankey and the Waterford players' sake, hopefully they get a win sooner rather than later. Because I think everyone in the country would just love for Waterford to get at least a win this summer.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. It should be very interesting indeed. Looking at the league table then in Division 4, so Leash with 10 points there. But as you can see, Wexford, Longford and Leitrim all with 8 points. Carlo do have 6 points, but with the fact that obviously the final day will see both Longford and Wexford play each other. One of those teams is going to get points, obviously, so Carlow won't be able to catch them. Tipperary are out of the mix as well, and as are London and Waterford, as we already knew. So, yeah, looking at it there, I mean, Leash are playing Waterford on the final day. You'd expect Leash to win that. But looking at it, who does get promoted, do you think? I mean, it is such a mad one to call, isn't it?
I said Leash and Longford at the start of the season, and I'm going to stick with that prediction, specifically because Longford are playing against Wexford. If they win that, they have the head-to-head over Leitrim. So I think Longford will be promoted, but it should be a very interesting day.
It really will be. It really will be. And yeah, I'll be doing a watch-along on the Sunday as well. So anyone, make sure to tune in for that final day and everything else. Like, there'll be so much happening across all 4 divisions, still so much to play for. So, yeah, it would be very interesting to see all the results, all the scores coming in live. Gaelic Guy says Longford could be the opposite of Antrim. They could be, yeah, in the sense of, you know, start very slow and then obviously finishing the league quite strong. So, yeah, it is an interesting point in fairness. Matthew, before we leave you, player of the week, moment of the week, what are you thinking?
Player of the week, I'm going to take the opportunity because Cork had a good performance this weekend, Conor Corbett. Brilliant performance against Meath, 1-3. Can't ask for more. His temperament and everything, he's just an exceptional footballer. So I'm going to give it to Conor Corbett. Moment of the week, if you don't mind, I'm going to give it to 2 moments. Number one is Waterford Camogie after reaching the other of the final last season, were the Grand Marshal of their city parade. And that was brilliant for the Waterford people, just to allow them to be part of that and be the Grand Marshal. And probably just noticing their achievements from last season, because they broke barrier in many ways. So brilliant from Watford. And another moment as well for the Tyrone and Monaghan game. Niall Devlin lost his brother, Caelan, this week. And for him to play against Monaghan was just showed a lot of guts. And obviously, condolences to the Devlin family. Brilliant. Niall had a very good performance as well on Saturday. So so condolences to Niall and his family. And brilliant moment.
Absolutely, yeah. I was going to say that was my moment of the week as well. Like, yeah, I think we've mentioned this type of thing before, obviously, with the Cliffords and when they lost their mother. And, yeah, having, you know, been able to go out there and play, like, so soon after such a tragedy in your family. So, yeah, condolences go to Niall Devlin, to the family and everything else. And, yeah, like, fair play to him, obviously, for doing what he did for his team, putting out that performance. And yeah, like, should be absolutely commended for that. So, yeah, I think we'll go ahead and wrap this one up here. Matthew, cheers very much for coming on. Anyone who's tuned in, if you could hit the like button and subscribe, it would be very much appreciated. And yeah, we will catch you all soon.